This podcast is brought to you by the Dutch media platform Triathlon Inside.
1, 2, 3, 4.
What is up, guys, and welcome back to a new podcast of Grit Grind Girona. Today, we shift gears and take a ride into the world of cycling media with a guy who always has a smile on his face, Bernard Fontmas. As a presenter for global cycling network Espanyol, Bernard brings the thrill of cycling to the audience worldwide, sharing insights, epic rides, and the passion that fuels the sport. But what is his story? How did he go from being a pro bike rider himself to becoming a key voice in cycling journalism? We're breaking it all down today at Grit Grind Girona. Bernat, welcome. Welcome in the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. Hola, hola. ¿Qué tal? So I'm so happy to be here and to talk about cycling, about Girona, about me, but just a little bit about me. But yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, no worries. Of course, whenever I made a list for potential guests, for sure you are one of the potential guests as well. I think, especially in the scene of Girona, but also like in cycling over here, or especially now with GCN Espanyol, you are a familiar face. I think a lot of people know you. You know a lot of people as well, I think. And but I think you have a cool story as well. And for sure, it's nice to try and find out. And how are you doing?
Yeah, all good. Now working with new projects, new videos. Yep. But, you know, every day we publish almost 1 video on YouTube. So yeah, this is a never stop story.
Yeah.
But yeah, and you? How are you?
Really good. Almost, well, it's the beginning of April right now, and it's for me almost time to start the season. So racing season is for sure in cycling already, has begun already for a couple of months, but for triathlon it's soon starting as well. So busy times for training, but looking forward to start all over again with racing, of course. That's in the end the nicest things for the whole sport, of course, to be racing. And looking forward, but also still doing these kind of podcasts in between, of course. So you've been to Volta Catalunya as well, right? It was last week.
Yeah, last week. Yeah, I was on the first and second stage.
Okay.
We filmed a video about the news tech on the Volta Catalunya, all the aero bikes and new components and new things that the professional cyclists are using. And then on Tuesday, I went to Banyoles to the second stage just for fun with a friend and talk with another friends that are still there, still racing. And yeah, it was cool to be there.
It's nice. I've been in Girona now for more than 2 years. This is the third year that I'm here and the Volta Catalunya is here. But it's cool to, like, usually you see everything on TV and these kind of things, and then suddenly they're actually in your area, right?
Yeah.
And then it's really cool to just hop by and see everything, and they are riding on the roads, you know. For example, the first stage was on the coast loop in the soaking rain, right? And it was like, well, it was insane, but cool. It was actually a really cool race, Volta Catalunya.
Yeah. On the first day, I had an interview with Catalan TV, and I say that I think that it's going to be super close, the GC between Roglic and Ayuso, and it's going to be all about the time bonus and the sprints. And because on Saturday they had to cancel, how to do it, but it was a mess, the Queen stage, then all the race was
totally different.
It was completely different. And and the last day on the circuit in Barcelona, it was the only race of the whole week. It was interesting to see Roglic, that in one of his first race on the season, he's in a great level. Ayuso is also so strong. So let's see. I'm looking forward for the Giro d'Italia.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So before we start the podcast, I explained to you a little bit about what we do in the podcast. First of all, I like to try to get to know you a little bit better. Okay. We've got a couple of different rounds of quick fire questions. First of all, it's quick fire round of questions in general, some general questions. Afterwards, we can talk about the answers, dive into it a little bit deeper. And then after that, we will have another round of questions specifically about Girona. Yeah, I mean, in the end, we are in Girona right now. And after that, I think it's nice to look a little bit ahead to the future, what's coming up for this year and maybe even longer than a year. And and ending it, ending the whole podcast with a couple of questions we have from our Instagram followers as well. So if you are ready, just before we start with the quick fire round questions, just to get to know you a little bit better and to give the listeners an idea about who you are. You have been a cyclist yourself, right? At the highest level, in not like the world tour level, but at you've done a couple of the biggest races against the biggest riders out there as well. From when till when have you been riding yourself?
So I stopped racing 3 years ago now.
2021.
Yeah.
Right?
So it was 21. Yeah. I was racing as a continental cyclist for 4 years, but before I was on the amateur level here in Spain, in Naturgas, that was the development team of Euskaltel Euskadi, and then Seguros Bilbao, Comunitat Valenciana. So yeah, it was long time ago. Yeah. Now it's maybe more than 10 years.
True. And then since 2022, second career, first like big working career, right? You are one of the presenters of GCN Español.
Yeah. I met you when I started in GCN. Remember, in Plaza del B with Chris and some friends having a drink.
That's when you started out?
Yeah, in 2021.
Oh, maybe,
March of 2021.
It goes so fast.
But yeah, and it was really easy to make the change. And sometimes in professional cycling, and I think in the sports, it's hard when you have to make this step and end your career. Say, okay, this is my time, it's over, what's next for me? And I was lucky that at the same time that I was thinking that, okay, maybe my professional career is over, GCN contact me, send me a message and ask, yeah, what's your plan for the future? You have a team, you don't have a team. And yeah, at that time I realized that that's a good opportunity. Let's try it. I don't know if I would like or not, but I'm gonna try it.
Yeah.
And yeah, here we are after 3 years, still presenting videos, riding bikes, having fun. And I feel so lucky. I feel so lucky because this is an incredible job that I'm still involved in cycling. That is the sport that I love. And yeah, meeting a lot of people, that it's super interesting, super cool. And then to see my friends still racing and still there and make everything more easy because you have the contact and you can talk with Cortina or Enric Mas, Marc Solé, on a different way than the journalist used to do. And this is one thing that when GCN starts the company, the idea of the company was like, okay, who is the best people to talk about bikes that they know really well and they know that what they are talking about, as a former professional cyclist. And that's why the founder, Simon, start to find a professional cyclist or former professional cyclist to give the next opportunity then on their life and also to have somebody with the experience and with the knowledge.
They know what they're talking
about.
Yeah,
and they know what they talk about because, yeah, we spend more than 20 hours, 30 hours per week riding bikes and, yeah, riding different bikes and racing around the world. So, yeah, it's really cool that now the team that we have in all the channels, not just the Spanish, the Italian.
We are talking about GCN Espanol, but GCN Global Cycling Network in general is so massive, right?
Yeah.
You have got, for sure, you've got the English spoken one.
Yeah.
That's the Spanish spoken one. And what do you've got more?
Italian, of Deutsch, and Francais. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Massive.
Yeah.
So big. Such a big channel in general.
Yeah.
It's
and
crazy.
All the presenters are former professional cyclist or like Oli, that he's the only one that he wasn't a professional. Oh, Oli and Maxime, the new French presenter, that they weren't professional cyclists, but they are involved on cycling for long, long, long time ago. Maxime is doing ultra cycling, so he's also a really cool guy. Yeah.
Well, for sure, we're going to be talking about it, about the whole GCN part, in a while on the podcast as well. But I was thinking about one question as well. Is because you are spending a lot of time, of course, with your colleagues from Spain. But actually, are you involved with, or do you see the other guys from or girls from other channels as well? Do you guys do stuff together? And
yeah, now more often we try to make like not a training camp. We call it sunshine shooting, and where all the channels work together.
Oh,
and
nice.
We have different meetings. I share new ideas, how to improve, how to. To do next projects, next videos, and it's really cool. It's really
a little
cool
bit
because
like a brainstorm camp or something like that.
Yeah. But at the same time, we film videos, we ride bikes, we have fun, and it's nice because we have different visions and perspective. UK or America is completely different than Spain or South America, and then the France audience and German audience. So it's really cool because then there are some videos that work really well in every country, but how we adapt to the different audience, and it's nice to work all together. Yeah,
I can imagine. All right, we're gonna hop into the first round of quick fire questions. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, perfect. What is your proudest achievement in your sport and or working career?
Wow, good question. I never think about my biggest achievement.
Proudest achievement. What is something?
Proud,
oh, that's
I'm,
really.
I'm still living off cycling, and I'm still my life is it's on a bike.
It's also an intro for sure.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I always dream about to be a professional cyclist and race the Tour de France. Yeah, I never raced the Tour de France, but I was almost close to the top. And
you have been working at the Tour de France.
Yeah. I've been working. Yeah. That was a strange feeling that I had when I was in Bilbao a few years ago because, I was dreaming to be on the Tour de France one day. And, it happens, but on a different way that I thought. But I was there. I achieved. So that's maybe the biggest achieve. And from results, I think the Tour of Utah in 2019, that I was fighting for stage and having a good performance, and I was happy.
And also at that race, you were also wearing a jersey, right?
Yeah. I was wearing a jersey, top 10 on a stage, the Park City stage. So, it was a great day. That day, Lachlan Morton won the stage. Yeah.
Strong guys.
Yeah.
What has been, and I think this is in sport, what has been your toughest moment out there?
2021, when I was racing for Evo Pro Cycling, that was a Irish team. It was tough because it was after the pandemic, but we're still on the pandemic on COVID-19. The small teams struggle a lot because don't have enough budget and enough racing. And then I had a crash training and I broke my patella. So yeah, I was injured for 9 months, and yeah, the team didn't take care of me that well. It was a really hard time, but at least because of my family and my friends that they support me, I recover. And then on August I start racing on Tour of Norway. But yeah, the season was super strange. I just raced from August to October. And yeah, without all the resources that we should need at that time, we traveled to Tour of Norway, driving from Belgium to Bergen. So we drive to the north of Denmark, then take the ferry, and the next day we start the race with Vingegaard, with Pedersen, with Ghana. We slept in the ferry. I remember that the manager didn't have enough money to pay the ferry, and he asked us to put the credit card to pay the ferry, and we say no. It was super hard times, but
super stressful as well.
Imagine that you arrive there and you still being competitive. And
I mean, you got a race against, as you said, Ghana.
And the best guys. But this is the scenario of the continental level. Not all the teams, but it's really difficult sometimes. Yeah. And when some guy from continental team arrives to the World Tour, that's a big achievement. Because if you are not in a development team, the other teams, they are always trying to don't pay you or try to skip the bills, and it's a gangster games. the Hunger Games, no?
Exactly.
But they are also some gangsters also on this level.
What different languages do you speak?
So I speak fluent Catalan, it's my mother language, then Spanish, English a little bit, it's not great, but yeah,
it's good.
English,
sure.
And then French.
French also. As well?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice, cool. Who is one person you look up to for inspiration?
Wow.
Or maybe who is or was your idol, maybe?
When I was a kid, my idol was Ivan Mayo, the professional cyclist from Euskaltel Euskadi.
Against Lance.
Yeah, oh, I was always racing with a cap like him. But no, who inspired me? My family. My family inspired me a lot. No, my dad, he's a hard worker, and all that he has in mind, he always achieve. And then the resilience of my mom, no, that how she adapt to all the situations, and yeah, my girlfriend, that she's always with me, and how she organized, she's super well organized, and she works a lot, and she has a lot of projects also, and how she's doing everything. She helped me because I'm a mess sometimes. Yeah. I'm not really well organized. I mean,
all right. What is your favorite sport outside of cycling?
Ski touring. Yeah,
Ski touring.
Yeah, okay. I love to go to the mountains on winter and go up to some peaks, and then go down in the middle of the mountains. And
you've been in the snow last weekend as well.
Yeah, right? 2 weeks ago I was there doing a loop in Andorra, in El Refugio de Lilla, and some places
it's really. I've been in Andorra for a couple of years ago for like Eldridge camp, but since I've been living in Girona, I haven't been in the mountains yet. But it's, I think, so easy to, like, it's 2 or 3 hours from here and you're already in the snow.
And now, Les, you can go to Vallter 2000, that it's just 2 hours, a little bit less. And yeah, it's incredible because this spring we have the best snow ever here in this part of the Pyrenees. So, yeah.
I really enjoy... for example, the last couple of days, beginning of this week, the weather over here in Girona was amazing, right? It was like really nice temperature, but also like blue skies.
Yeah.
And then from different kind of angles, you can look to the Pyrenees and the white snowtops. That's so incredible, always.
You've
the
never view. Seen that white before?
Exactly. No. Of course, last year it was white as well, but not like this.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Yeah, on Friday, I will go to ski.
Nice. Yeah. Where are you going?
To Vallter 2000. Nice. Yeah. And on Sunday, probably I will race the Poca Traça, that it's a race in Vallter 2000, a ski touring race.
Oh, wow.
Cool. So
I didn't know you were racing it at all.
Yeah, sometimes I'm still pinning a number on my bag.
If you could have a conversation with anybody, who would it be?
I like to talk with everyone. So I don't know, maybe from cycling, I would like to talk with Lance Armstrong, Jochen Breunil, because when I was a kid, they were the super team. Also, Manolo Saiz was a really interesting character in cycling, that with the Once team and how he was the first one who professionalized cycling, as we know nowadays. So maybe I would like to have a conversation with them. Yeah. On cycling. And then, I don't know, I like to talk with everyone. Normal people has really interesting stories. And
it's a good thing being, I'm not sure if you can see yourself as a journalist, but I think so, right? Or somebody who is working with for content or things that you like to be in contact or be in talks with some people, you know? Nice to like it. Who is the funniest athlete you know?
Funniest. Marsul is so fun.
Yeah.
He has a strange humor, but he's fun. And I don't know. Maybe Victor de la Parte, he's also so fun. Yeah. That's really good guys on the peloton.
Cool. Are you more of an early bird or a night owl?
Depends on the day. But night out.
Okay, cool. If you could visit any country tomorrow, where would you go?
Any country of South America. Some country of South America. Yeah, I've never been there.
Okay.
And I would like to go. Yeah.
Could be nice, yeah. Maybe in combination with one of a cool week of racing over there you've got a lot of racing or cycling racing happening in South America right now, of course.
Yeah. Some gravel adventure
What is a podcast or a book you would suggest to others? If you have any.
Now I'm reading a book that it's really interesting because it's the history of the first Giro d'Italia, and because we are close to the Giro, I recommend that book, that it's called How to Win the Giro Drinking Cow Blood.
Wow.
Yeah, because the first edition of the Giro was a crazy one.
When was the first edition of Giro,
At the beginning of the 1900s.
Cycling has a lot of history, actually.
lot. Yeah, the Giro was after the first edition of the Tour de France, because La Gazzetta and the Corriere, the two paper news, they realized that it was a good business to sell business. I think it was 1906 or something like this, before the First World War. I don't know.
Could
now,
be. Yeah, I don't know. Be. No idea.
Yeah, could
but
be.
But it's if you want to know, they can find out on the internet, right?
Yeah.
Last question. What is one thing on your bucket list?
Make a video that has 1 million views.
Wow.
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we have some ones that have half a million views, but yeah, I would like to make a really
cool
good video.
Now you already have an idea about like what that needs to be.
The basic topics work really well, but I would like to do something more journalistic and at the same time educative, but entertaining. I'm thinking yeah, about, yeah. Sometimes it comes like bam, and it's a normal video that you didn't realize that that could work, and then it's working really well. Yeah.
Cool. What is the story from or Bernat and Marco Pantani?
Oh. So
that's I think a little bit where your dreams or ideas about cycling began, right?
Yeah. So my dad, he's a big fan of cycling, and when we were kids, I was, I think, 4 years old. We were living in Slovakia because the work of my dad, and on a travel from Slovakia to Spain, driving the car, we stopped somewhere in Italy, and it was a race there. I don't know if it was a Giro, I don't remember, but the same hotel was the Mercatone, the team of Marco Pantani, and I remember that we were on the breakfast, but I don't remember. My dad told me that it was like this. So if and I remember that we were on the breakfast, and my dad say, "This is Marco Pantani. Come, Bernat." And he take me. We went to Marco Pantani, and he signed a book. And
I you have a like, photo of it, right?
Yeah, and we have a photo that I was like looking. Who is that guy? I don't know who he is. And
now bald guy.
Yeah, bald guy, small one, and yeah. Now, yeah, after years, I remember this like the first step into cycling, and yeah, and I had the photo on my room on my parents' house in Vegas in Barcelona. So yeah, it's a good memory.
Nice, cool. I saw that this story somewhere online. I was like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. And
yeah, nice.
And you said you were 4 or 5 years old back then at that time. And already at that time, like interested in cycling, probably then, as you told me, your father was really interested in cycling. From what point where you're like, what kind of age were you really like, I actually like cycling. I want to do some races and these kind of things.
I think I was 8 years or 10 years old, but it was a game. I, as all the kids in Spain, I was playing football, and I didn't have the skills. So I was always running, and I didn't play that much, but I was always running and warming up, but I was on the seats just waiting always to play. And at that time, my sister, she started to ride bikes, and she joined a cycling team. And after my match on the football team of my town, we went to the cycling race with my sister. And I always bring my bike, my mountain bike, like all the kids that has a bike. And after the official race, they always organize a all categories race, and the kids of the town where was the race, they can race. And I start to participate. And at that point, I start to see that that's fun. And I always take a medal because they always give you a medal or something like a prize. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I fell in love. And the next year I start to race with my bike, but at the same time I was playing football, playing basketball,
everything.
Yeah, running also, because on the school they organize a cross every year, and I was always training for that cross. Yeah. And yeah, I also tried the triathlon. So yeah, I was so bad swimming. Swimming is not my sport, but yeah. I love it. But I don't have.
You've been doing it a little, right? With the Skrill.
I have done the Skrill 2 times. Yes. But yeah, I love to swim on the ocean, on the sea,
But to swim on the swimming pool, guys, I don't know how you love it to stay there and just bam, 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 bam. Yeah, it's so
looking
hard.
At the bottom, looking at the black line.
Yeah, the black line and just go, 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 go. Yeah, yeah.
Well, for sure, that's why I like cycling more, because you're outside and doing it. But so you've been living when you're younger in what do you say in
Slovakia and Czech Republic. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And before that, you were born in Barcelona?
I born in Barcelona, okay. But because the job of my dad, we travel a lot, and yeah, I live in Zaragoza, in Sevilla,
okay.
Then Czech Republic, cool. Slovakia.
All different kind of places.
Yeah, yeah, nice. Different places, and then back to Barcelona. And when I start in cycling junior ranks, I moved to the High Performance Center.
Where is that?
In Ripoll, here in the Pyrenees. Okay. Was the...
Is it still there?
Yeah, still there. Oh, cool. Still there. Yeah, it's just for cycling. It's part of the Car de Sant Cugat, the high performance center in next to Barcelona.
Yeah.
But the cycling, the problem was that to train in Barcelona, it wasn't that good. So they create like another place in Ripoll.
Cool.
So yeah.
Is it like doing school, but also like focused on cycling for
the younger? So I was doing the bachelor, that it's the high school.
Yeah.
And yeah, that year Marsule was with me in that place, and yeah, we were training together and
nice.
Go to the race, and they adapt, no, how the, if you have a race on the weekend, you never had an exam on Mondays, and try to adapt a little bit to
cool.
Yeah, to balance, no, the yeah. racing life with the academic life. Yeah,
until what kind of age is that school?
18. When you are 18, you go to the university, yeah. And then I moved to the Basque Country, because yeah, I signed with the Euskaltel Euskadi development team, and one of the rules was all the cyclists that join the team has to be Basque or grow up as a cyclist on the Basque Country. So Miguel Madariaga, told me that.
Is it really such a culture that they want to have?
It is. Oh, wow. It is. Yeah. Now, not like that, okay. But on the beginning of Euskaltel Euskadi and the best times of Euskaltel, when Mikel Landa, mm-hmm. Izagirres, and all the really powerful cyclists from the Basque Country were there, all of them were from the Basque Country or grow up as a cyclist in the Basque Country, like Samuel Sanchez.
Yeah, I was thinking about Samuel Sanchez.
See,
I was
the Olympic champion. The Olympic champion.
The guy who was descending so well.
Right? Yeah, so we were living in the same town as Samuel Sanchez was
which
growing.
Güeñes.
Okay. Yeah, the Fundación Euskadi, that it's the main or institution or club that they had the Euskaltel Euskadi and everything. They ran an apartment there because Samuel Sanchez was growing here and you have to be here. And I remember Madariaga saying that. And yeah, we moved there. And
how was the cycling over there? The training? And
really, really nice. The roads are super nice. Everything is super green, but super wet. Yeah,
okay.
It's the north, so it's always raining. I remember that the first day you say, okay, I'm gonna do an inside training with a home trainer. Second day you say, okay, I'm gonna do it again. Third day you say, okay, let's go out, because otherwise you are always at home and you don't train properly.
Until when have you been living over there?
I was living in the Basque Country for 3 years. Then I was in...
So until you were 20, 21?
Yeah, 21. The last year as an under 23, I moved back to my parents in Vegas. And then to Valencia, because I raced 1 year more as I lead with 23 years old. And that was my best year as an amateur cyclist. And I get a contract for an American team, the 303 Project.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I...
You spent a lot of time in US, right?
Yeah, I moved to Boulder, to Colorado. Yeah, wow, yeah, cool. For 2 years I was there. Yeah. Not living the whole time, but yeah, all the season I was in Boulder.
Is that where you're... I remember back in 2023 when we were... I was living here as well. And I think somewhere in April or May, other triathlete, Rudy van Burg, came in. Is that where you know him from?
I met him there because, we were training in the same roads and we meet one each other. And
I always see, for sure there are more, but I always see like Girona is the big city of cycling and triathlon in Europe, right? But I see Boulder, especially for triathlon. I didn't know that much of cycling, but especially for triathlon in the US, it's Boulder.
Yeah. It's
I haven't not been before, but you to be living over there,
they are so
cool.
Similar. And Boulder, it's not just for triathlon, also for cycling, runners, and outdoors. People that live there love the mountain, love doing
it's,
sport. The community is great there.
If you're living at like 1,600 meters of altitude?
Yeah, 1,600 meters of altitude, and you can train till 3,000 meters.
Wow.
Yeah, up to Brainerd Lake and peak-to-peak highway. It's a really, really nice place because you have a flat roads and then you have climbs, and you can train in altitude on flat roads also. Yeah.
What was it like to, as somebody who is not from the US, to live over there? Or to what was it like to come over there and like, this is it, this is the American dream or something like that, right?
Yeah.
What was it like?
Yeah, it was really inspiring, and because the American society has good things and bad things, but one thing is that they appreciate a lot when somebody make an effort, and I don't want to say that I succeed, but you achieve some goals, and they try to support you and to learn about you, how you achieve that, how you do it. And when they see somebody who is trying hard, they support you. And it was inspiring for that, because I remember that I was in Boulder, and winters in Boulder sometimes are tough because of the snow, because it's cold, and I was trying to find a place in California for training, but it was so expensive to rent an apartment. And I met one guy who has a friend in San Francisco area, in the Bay Zone area, and Cooper texts me and say, hey, come to my home. I don't want to charge you anything. I just want to train with you, learn about you, how you train, how you do it, because it's somebody from Europe that come here to racing, and you are in the professional ranks, and that changed a little bit my mind, and I appreciate a lot that I met people that helped me on this process.
What are some of the coolest things that come to your mind, coolest experience you've got from your 2 years?
Yeah.
2 years in the US. What are some of the coolest things you're thinking of from that period?
Yeah, my first travel. I remember when I arrived in Boulder, Nick, the manager of the team, told me, next week we have the training camp in Redlands. What do you prefer, to fly or to drive there? And I'm from here, here driving, it's... If you go to Sevilla, it's 9 hours, but it's just 9 hours. And I say, no, I want to see the country. I want to see America. I say, okay. Yeah, more than 20 hours driving.
Oh.
Yeah, first day was Boulder to Vail. We stopped in Vail because it was snowing a lot, and to cross the Rockies was dangerous. Then next day from Vail to Las Vegas. I rush to Las Vegas and walk around the boulevard and everything. And then the next day from Las Vegas to Redlands, it was a 3 days road trip that,
But for sure, you've seen a lot of the country.
Yeah. I see a lot. But the distance there is huge.
It's
the
crazy,
country, the country is huge. Yeah.
Have you been, after that first experience for traveling, have you been taking the plane afterwards?
More often?
And you've been racing quite a lot in the US as well. I mean, you were already we're talking about Tour of Utah, but yeah. What are the other kind of
things? Utah, Gila, Redlands Classics, Tour de Beauce, Saguenay. But it was the last years of road cycling in America. Now road cycling is dead in America.
It's more gravel. Gravel, for sure. Yeah, for sure. But also, you have, I know you've got these criteriums or these kind of things, right?
Yeah. They tried to push cycling with the criteriums because it was easy to organize, but they didn't succeed. So,
Okay. And after that, you came back to Europe?
After that, no, I never traveled back to the US after that. No.
But I mean, after your time in US, you came back to Europe.
Yeah. After that, I signed for the Evo Pro Racing 2 years, but 2020 was the COVID-19, which has raised 3 days. Mm-hmm. All the lockdown, I was in Andorra. I was living there.
You were living in Andorra.
From there, 2021, I talked about this before, that I had an injury, and also it was COVID times and
a strange period,
and that was the end of my cycling professional career.
If we we are continuing with now we have talked about your cycling career, we are continue a little bit about what came after it. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the city that we're in right now, about Girona. And let's begin with it with the second round of quick fire questions.
Okay.
You ready?
Ready. Let's go.
Since when are you living in Girona?
Since 3 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, but before I came to Girona so many times because my sister, she studied here physical therapy. She owns her place in Girona. For almost 10 years now, and she's married with a guy who was living here in Girona, so all my family almost is here. My grandmother is from Santa Pau, that is a small town north of Girona, close to Olot. So
okay, nice. What is your favorite place for coffee in Girona?
For coffee. Wow, now my friends, Miquel Cirera they bought a rocket machine. And this is my favorite place nowadays because I go there, it's free, they make a really good coffee, so...
Every morning you're like knocking on the door.
Almost. Right? I go to La Puntual, that is a bakery, a really good bakery, take some croissants, some sweets, and I go there for a coffee.
Nice. Cool. What is your favorite bike loop over here?
Bike loop. I love the coast loop. Yeah, if you go to Llagostera and then up to San Grau and the downhill. The
views over there are amazing.
Yeah, the views, Tossa de Mar and all the road. In summer, maybe I prefer the countryside because it's so busy, the coast, because people go to the beach and blah, blah, blah. But on winter, the temperature there. It's also
nice.
Yeah, it's always good, and
I'm always waiting for the time there. They will redo the road surface on the San Grau towards the coast because right now it's actually pretty loose gravel and these kind of things. But when I'm descending, I'm like, well, it's a little bit tricky over here sometimes.
Yeah,
but it's so beautiful over there. Yeah.
And in summers, Olot Loop is a nice one. You go to Banyoles, from Banyoles to Olot. To Santa Pau, and I always stop to see my grandparents. So,
have you been to Girona football game?
Yeah, well, for sure. This year it's been difficult, but last year was so exciting to see Girona beating Football Club Barcelona and these big teams and ending the La Liga in the top three. And yeah.
Special season.
And this year we enjoy the champions a little bit. Now
into a Champions League game?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. But now we are suffering. We are suffering. True. And I think it's really complicated that we go down to the second league, but We need to push, but at least Barcelona this year is going really well. Yeah. So yeah.
Is Barcelona, because you are from there, is that your like favorite team?
Yeah, Football Club Barcelona. So yeah, my grandparents has a seat on the Camp Nou. Wow. And I
is it almost finished?
And supposed to finish in May, but it's not gonna happen. Okay. So I think it's gonna be next season. Yeah.
If the like last weekend when Barcelona playing Girona,
yeah,
were you supporting Barcelona?
Yeah. My heart was divided. Yeah. It was difficult because I'm from Barcelona, but I'm living in Girona. I love both teams. Yeah,
nice. What is your favorite restaurant in Girona?
Favorite restaurant? A small one called L'Escabeig. That it's next to Plaza Independencia, and it's a Catalan cuisine, but with some mix of Peru, ceviche, really nice, fresh fish, and I love it.
Nice, cool. What is your favorite thing to do in or around Girona besides training or work?
I love running, but this is training. I mean, I love running, but I like to go to Dos Kiwis Brewing with my friends, my girlfriend.
Where is that again?
This is in Rupià.
Okay.
It's when you go to Empordà area, it's a brewery that they make
for beers and these kinds.
They own beers, they have burgers there. Yeah.
Nice.
Wow, when you ask me about the restaurant, the other restaurant that I love is Bartali. Bartali for pizza. It's best place. Yeah.
What do you dislike the most about Girona?
Nothing. Maybe nowadays because problem, but it's not a problem that some people think that the inflation and the problem that we have with the rentals and everything, it's because of cyclists. Mm-hmm. And this annoys me a little bit because...
I also do think the city, not only, of course, but especially in the world of cycling or sports, gained a lot of like interests.
Yeah,
because of it, right?
Right, and we are so lucky to have this kind of tourism here in the city, and it's hard to see some people that think that cyclists are the problem, and everybody is suffering the same about the inflation, about the increasing of the rentals. And this is happening not just in Girona. It's happening in all the cities because people want to live.
From Barcelona.
Yeah, right? Barcelona, Madrid, or if you go to Paris, it's crazy. The problem is that the salaries are not increasing and the people is more poor than before. And when the economy is not... in a balance, then you start to try to find who is the problem or what is the problem, and they think that here is it's because of the cyclists. No, we have an incredible city that what happens here in Girona doesn't happen anywhere because it's like a Disneyland of cycling. Like you can walk around, see the best shops of cycling, a lot of shops, a lot of coffee shops.
The Disneyland of cycling.
Yeah.
So it's a good
thing. Yeah. Castelli has the first shop on his history here in Girona. Then we have Trek, now Canyon, and Velodrome. They will open a really nice space in the Odeon Theater that it's going to be magic. And we have really nice events like Sea Otter, the Traca. It's something special that happens because a lot of people believe on this and push really hard and work for to have that, and this doesn't happen anywhere because nowadays people is buying everything on internet, and here at least you can come, walk around,
see everything,
go into a shop, see everything, and it's I think it's cool. Yeah. We always need to try to find the balance, no? To don't lose our identity as a city, as a Girona. But I think it's something special that we have, and but we need to teach and to teach the people that this is good for the city. This is a great thing for the city. Yeah, if you ask to somebody from north of Europe about that, they will say, "Wow, that's magical. That's something like, yeah, I'm jealous that you have this on your city." And yeah, here sometimes they don't value that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, well spoken. Well spoken. And what is it that you like the most about Girona?
The lifestyle. Yeah, that it's a small city. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's a town. You can walk everywhere. It's well communicated with Barcelona, with France, and then in 1 hour and a half, 2 hours, you are in the mountains. In less than 1 hour, you are in the beach. You have all that you need. And in less than 10 minutes, you are on a trail. Yeah, if you go to Las Gavarras, to San Miguel, to Los Angeles, this is really difficult to find in another city. And then the weather is great. Okay, and summer is sometimes it's so hot, but...
And the last couple of months were
wet. But wet, but yeah.
In general?
Could be worse. Exactly. Always could be worse, yeah. And the food here is incredible, yeah.
Nice. Do you have a hidden gem in Girona? Something people who like to visit Girona should definitely do or visit?
I don't want to say it.
No. It's also possible.
The gardens of La Muralla, people know really well, but yeah, if you go there and you can sit there, read a book, or just relax yourself, all the gardens behind the old town, when you go to San Daniel, it's a really, really...
Views from the water, nice.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
As living over here, you don't come that often anymore, I think, over there. But still, especially when people or friends from the Netherlands are coming over or people I know, you always take them through the walls, right? It's nice.
Yeah,
it's a cool place. All right, cool. Well, I think some cool answers and some nice insights about Girona as well. It's a lovely city. I still really like it. Continuing on from the part that we were talking about earlier is. You talked already at the beginning of the podcast, 2021, you had an injury and then short season. And then you decided that like the professional cycling career was ending. And GCN came up to you with the proposal to be working for them. And what are some of the coolest things you've done with GCN so far?
I like to help people with all my knowledge. And this is what I appreciate more, what I'm doing, because as an athlete, when you are racing, you are just thinking about yourself and to perform better and what you can do. But now what I'm doing, the people appreciate more because, I'm working sometimes on the street and somebody came to me and say, "Hey, thank you so much for that video because I didn't know how to do that or how to do this." And, "Oh, thank you." And I'm thinking, I'm just making a video. It's not, but...
It's more for other
people. Yeah. It's more for people because cycling is not just racing. Cycling is huge. Cycling is about how to change a tire, how to degrease your chain or... Things like this about maintenance, about training, about how to avoid the crash, and these kind of things that somebody who start in this sport, they didn't know, and they appreciate a lot that you can explain and teach them. And that's something that at the beginning impacted me because we went somewhere and somebody... come to you and say that, and I was like, okay, a little bit embarrassing, but no, it's, I think it's the most cool thing that I'm doing in GCN, this kind of videos that helps to the people and introduce to cycling. That's good. Yeah.
I think you guys do a lot of really different kind of videos, right? At one place, you guys are doing videos, what you're talking about, like maintenance kind of things, or like basic knowledge cycling kind of things. But on the other hand, you guys are visiting Volta Catalunya or Tour de France or these kind of things. It's like really different kind of things. I can't remember all my question, but it's actually really cool to like doing these kind of things as well, right? But what I'm curious about is like, because everybody's who follows a GCN or these kind of channels, they see the videos show up on YouTube or they see the things coming up on Instagram or something like that. But what does your work week look like? That's what I'm because this content has to be made, right?
Yeah.
And normal kind of jobs are 9 to 6 or these kind of things. But I don't think you have regular hours, right?
Right. Right.
Exactly.
We work as a team. We have we are not just the presenters. We have filmmakers. We have somebody just publishing the videos on the social media or YouTube, and commercial to make the relation with the partnerships or future partnerships of the channel. There now it's around 100 people working for Play Sports Network, Global Cycling Network, and for us in Spain we are eight people working. Yes, yeah, with production and everything. So our days are, every week is different. Every week is different. We have a schedule, all the videos for the week. We publish 5 videos per week. And more or less, always it's the same. No? Mondays, we publish a maintenance video or a basic knowledge video. Then on Tuesdays, it's always the GCN show. Thursdays, it's a feature video about something like, the hot tech of Volta Catalunya or news or teaching video about how to avoid a crash or a training video. And then on the weekend, we always try to the best videos of the week publishing on the weekend.
Yeah. And whatever you're like, for example, you're talking about like the GCN show on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
You posted on a Tuesday, and when did you guys like shut it? Shut the whole.
Yeah, we record on Mondays always.
So most of the time you guys for every video you mean, or for like if you guys post something then the day before mostly or like shortly before you guys have.
Depend of the videos, the shows we film always on Mondays, and then.
What do you guys do it? In Girona?
In Girona, yeah, nice. We have the studios and the office here in Girona. And then the other videos, we try to work at least with 1 week, 1 week before the video is published. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, depends, but yeah.
Was it for you tough to evolve from a cyclist or pro cyclist into a presenter or journalist? Was it hard or was it a natural?
No, it was challenging. It was challenging. And
did you have any background in like journalism?
I'm studying a communications degree
right now.
And if everything goes right, next year I'm finished. But what was challenging was that I arrived the first day and they put you in front of the camera and let's record the show. Wow. I was like super like not natural, but now little by little with
what
time.
What are some of the biggest things you have learned along the way then in the last years?
That
like skills or
the skills that people appreciate that when you talk natural, when you are like yourself. Sometimes you try to act a little bit more to make more exciting things, but at the end of the day, people love when you are natural like you. Yeah. Like you are with your friends. And this is one thing that I learned, at the beginning, maybe I was acting a little bit more, but now it's more like, this is the Bernadette that is with my friends and my parents. And
Cool. I think also if you're like making up an act or something like that, after a while people, they see through it, right? They see, oh, it's not real.
Yeah.
Or these kind
of things. No, there are some videos that need some acting to make it more exciting, but never go too far.
So after GCN life, you're going into acting? Or?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know after GCN what they're going to do, but I don't think so.
Looking towards upcoming year, upcoming season, what are some of the cool things you guys have planned, or what are some of the cool things that are coming up?
Now we are planning the track. That Canyon is one of our partners, and we will film a really cool video in the track. And I'm looking forward to go to South America to film something there. We are working on that, but yeah.
So your dream is coming true.
Yeah. Nice. It has been long time that we are working on that, but we didn't find the way to do it. And yeah, I can't say more.
We gotta follow it. You gotta learn some Spanish if you don't speak it. Yeah. Well, I've actually been looking at a couple of these videos too. First of all, I like cycling, but next to that, it's for me, it's good to, of course, with subtitles in Spanish, these kind of things, but to learn some more Spanish with you like looking at these videos, and it's cool.
Yeah, I was doing the same at the beginning with my English. When I was moving to the US, I was watching Global Cycling Network to learn English
and learn about the job.
And learn. No. But when I was a professional cyclist, entertaining videos that I was, I like it. And yeah, it was a good way to learn a new language.
Okay. I think we should, of course, we can talk about these things so much longer, and we can. But eventually you gotta move on as well a little bit, but maybe for a different podcast. But let's hop on to a couple of the questions from our followers on Instagram. Okay. How do you guys come up with new ideas for content? I mean, you guys are already, GCN has been there before that you came, and after a while you've done already a video about how to clean your chain or these kind of things. But you guys keep on coming with new things, right? That's actually pretty tough. Right?
Yeah, it's tough. And now after 3 years, sometimes you are struggling about, okay, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
But
that's something that always keeps on continuing. You have to come with new stuff, right?
Yeah. No, we have, as I said, we have a team behind. They also take care about the content, and we share ideas with the different channels. And there is always a different approach to the same topic that people will watch and will feel interesting. But yeah, it's challenging to find the right topic and how to explain, how to approach. But we do it. Yeah, 5 videos per week. And
insane. Yeah. How do you combine traveling for work with exercise and with training as well?
I always bring my shoes, my running shoes, on my suitcase, and that's the way that I can go for training or to do some sport. Because for me, the sport, it's not about to feel stronger or
not anymore.
Not anymore. Now it's more as a mental health balance, and it helps to me to be more focused on my job and more relaxed, because when I stay 1 week without any sport, I start to feel bad, and feel not bad, but more stressful, more angry. And when I'm doing just 30 minutes of running or 1 hour of driving, that helps to me to find this balance. So that's why when I'm traveling, I always take my running shoes. And if I don't go to the gym, I go for running. I try to skip the gym. I don't like that much, but I always try to go for running, because it's also a really good way to visit a city or a place that you don't know. You go for a run,
you walk around, you see something. So
you actually now you've been talking about running in general, but you've been running a lot, quite a lot, right? With all us, you're joining the Overland guys.
Yeah, and the Project Traza.
What is it? I mean, Project Traza.
Yeah, we start in now two years ago almost. Yeah, we start like a running club. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a running club. So Miquel, one of my friends, he worked for Horizon on the shop, and they always organize a social run. And we talk and we say, hey, let's do it on Mondays evenings, because all the friends was a good timing to see one each other, and it was a good way to start the week. And we are running a really easy pace, 5:30, 6, and people run with us, and we start like 10 guys, 15 guys. Next day we're 20. 30, and now sometimes we are 50, sometimes like that day we were 70 people running on the mountains, and we always go for a trail run, so it's really, really nice.
Cool. Is there something you miss from road cycling professional level?
No, I don't miss, not anymore. The first year when I was going to a race, I felt strange and a little bit like, oh shit, I could be there. But now, I'm so happy with my life, and I'm so grateful to become a professional cyclist and now doing what I'm doing.
Cool. Last question from followers. Next to the Skrill, is there going to be any more triathlon involved as well?
I would like to do a half Ironman. I would like to do a half Ironman. That's a project that we are working with a commercial team and GCN, that maybe during maybe October or but the first time that I've done the Skrill, Gian Frodeno told me that you should try to do a half. And yeah, why not? Why not? I would like to do it. I would like to do it, but that means that I have to swim a lot.
just swim in the ocean, then, right? Yeah, not to the, in the pool.
Yeah, with the suit is better. The pool. I don't know, guys, how you do it. Every morning, go to the swimming pool. Yeah, it's cold, and you jump into the water. And triathlon is a really tough sport.
Yeah. I think we're coming towards our end of the podcast. I really enjoyed the whole conversation, and as I said, we can talk on for hours and hours about other cool things. But I think we have discovered quite a lot already in the over an hour that we are actually been talking right now. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks to you to having me. It was a pleasure, and for sure. I enjoyed it.
I always end the conversation with one final question. And this question is, what is the one thing you would want to say to your younger self?
To enjoy more the process and don't think that much into the results. And maybe that. Go harder and go and be more consistent than I was, but at the same time to enjoy that, because it was a part of my life that it was great, and now I realize that maybe I didn't enjoy it that much. I put me into a box sometimes, too much pressure, and I think that's something that when you are young and you are in the sport you used to do, but we are so lucky to do what we do, and everyone that has been involved in sports and high level sport know that it's hard, but at the same time it's a really special time for your life, and you learn a lot that then you can use it in your real life, no? Because I say always that when you are an athlete, you live in a bubble, and then there is the real life that it's another challenge.
Cool answer. Good answer. Yeah. I think time flies by, and sometimes we have to think what's actually happening at this moment as well. It's actually some cool things happening in this moment as well. And yeah, thanks for your answer. Again, thank you so much to come on the show. And it was a real pleasure to have this cool conversation with you. I'm going to be following what's coming up, all the nice things for GC and Espanyol this year. Looking forward to that journey towards the first half distance Ironman, hopefully sometime soon.
I hope.
And yeah, with that concludes this this recording of the Grit Grind Girona podcast for today. And see you in the next Grit Grind Girona. 1, 2. This podcast is brought to you by the Dutch media platform Triathlon Inside.